Our first speaker today is Thorsten Kobart. Give him a big welcome.
Thank you. My name is Thorsten Kobart. I'm with the Leibniz Institute for Wissensmedien, and I want to tell you something about how we introduced BWOP to Semaphore. So let me just give you an outline of my talk. I'll start with a short introduction, then I will tell you something about the historical development of our Samba domain. Then I will tell you something about the history of BWOP and its predecessors. And I'll try to answer the question why you would want to manage your ID users in groups with BWOP. I will give a short live demo, and perhaps, if time permits, we'll tell you something about other use cases of BWOP. And finally, I will come to a conclusion. So let's just start. I guess all of you two are jazz enthusiasts, and you already know what BWOP is as a musical style. So let's just see what Wikipedia has to say about it. Bebop or bop is a style of jazz characterized by a fast tempo, instrumental virtuosity, and improvisation based on a combination of harmonic structure and sometimes references to the melody. The style of jazz ultimately became synonymous with modern jazz. So you might ask, how does that translate to a software? Well, I hope I will enlighten you in the following talk. And you may see that some words in this definition are highlighted, and you will see them recurring in the following slides. So, but first of all, let me tell you something about my employer. I work for the Leibniz Institute for Wissensmedien, an English Knowledge Media Research Center. It's situated in Tübingen. It's a non-profit research center. And the main field of research is in the utilization of digital media in teaching and learning. It was founded in 2001 with about 30 employees, most of them psychologists. And nowadays we have, these are the figures from the end of last year, we had 185 employees, so it's quite a growth. And there's one special group among these employees that are student assistants. Let's have a closer look at them. student assistants have usually very short-lived work contracts, about half a year or less. They are encouraged to try out different fields of research and do frequent work group hopping. And by doing so, they pose great challenges to both HR and IT. So contracts are always changing, there's coming and going, and high fluctuation. So let me tell you some words about me. I'm a computer scientist. My first contact with Linux was in 1995, and I'm an open source advocate since then. I joined the Institute in January 2004. I was hired as a Python programmer, but now I'm almost full-time server administrator. So let's come to our Samba domain. When I joined the Institute in 2004, the situation was as follows. It was a Windows NT-style domain with roaming profiles, and it was based on Samba 2. There was a whole bunch of user and password combinations for each and every user. Basically, each service had its own user database. And I tried, so let's just assess that situation. By the time this version of Samba was substantially outdated, and we have this various username password combinations, and we didn't have unified user or group management at all. So everything was done with the SMB passvd file and things like that. So I tried my best to change that situation very quickly. So at the end of 2004, we had a Windows NT style domain based on Samba 3, OpenLDAP, and MIT Keras 5. The POSIX groups were held in OpenLDAP, so for the first time we had a unified Windows-Linux authentication. And there were still several services using their isolated user databases, but that was subject to change in the next few years. The summer user management at this time was done with SMB LDAP tools. So let's assess that. We have a now up-to-date summer version. There were fewer username password combinations. And we had a partly unified user group management, but it was not usable by laymen. What do I mean by the term layman? Well, a layman is a non-geek. So SMB LDAP tools is nothing for the faint-hearted. So let's skip ahead to 2008. We have still some services which are utilizing their own databases. But we have a newcomer, that's Bebop. Bebop is now managing our SAML users and POSIX groups. And basically what this means is we have a mostly unified user group management that's for the first time usable by laymen, meaning non-geeks. So let's again skip ahead to summer 2014. By that time, I finally managed to upgrade our NT-style domain to Active Directory based on SAML 4.0. Nothing much changed in the other regards. So we have several services and even several appliances like scanners and so on using the AD as they did use the Open LDAP before. So that wasn't hard to manage. But in summer 2014, we were back to shell scripting and SAML tool for the management of the ID users and groups. So assessment, we had an up-to-date SAML version again. We had a unified user group management, but it was again not usable by laymen. And as the situation today, our Active Directory domain is now upgraded to SAML 4.1. We even have a read-only DC that's working quite well, despite all the rumors. And it enables us to do funny things like domain authentication in the DMZ. and again, we manage our users and groups with Bebop. So, assessment's easy, again, usable by laymen. So, what are future plans? Well, let all services utilize AD. Maybe just a dream, but sometimes dreams come true. And, what will follow is that a kind of SSO. I'd rather call it unified logon because SSO would mean you only log on once and have access to everything. But it's a great step forward if users do have the same username and password for each and every service. So let's come to Bebop. And I joined the Institute in 2004. There was a fancy product called Visual Group. I never heard of it, and this wasn't a surprise because it was developed by my colleagues, and it was only used in-house. So it was a group-aware document-centered collaboration utility, and I will tell you what it means. Did everyone of you ever hear of Zope? Okay, so I don't have to explain. It was written in Python 2.1, which at the time became slightly outdated and based on Zope 2. That's still alive today, funnily. It presented documents in a folder view. It was kind of an explorer for the web browser, you could say. It supported user logins, ACLs, and versioning of all content, but it had had its own user database and even its own login scheme. So, for instance, my login was TKU, whereas if I wanted to log into the SAML domain, it was T-Kubat. So this led to lots of confusions among our not so technical staff, let's say. So it was mainly used to store our publications and internal documents. And I'm sorry, there's no screenshot left. I would have liked to show you one, but it's very old. So yeah, I won't tell you much about the pros and cons. I just summarized them here. But let's focus on two of the con side. The internal user database and login scheme limited the interconnection possibilities to our services. So you always had to find out who is this user in this other world and so on. And also it was based on then obsolete versions of Python and SOAP. So especially Python became a problem because it took some great leaps forward. And that 2.1 version was severely outdated. So in 2006, Bebop came to the rescue. And this first version is still in use today. Now we have a group-aware collaboration center document and content management utility. So you see the focus shifted from documents to collaboration. It was written in Python, or is written in Python 2.4, and this first version was based on an early development snapshot of SOAP 3, which has an entirely different paradigm of programming. it supports different views on the same content, so you can have the same content in a wiki, in a blog, or in a folder structure. And you can switch between the views. That's something my boss called content improvisation. He, by the way, is the one who gave the name Bebop. He's a great jazz enthusiast. And I will come to an assessment of that later. So for the first time, we had client-side scripting like Ajax for faster response times. And for the first time, we have LDAP user authentication. And it was even recently adapted to Active Directory, so now I can authenticate my AD users to Bebop 1. So let's see a few screenshots. That would be a block view. It's quite as you would expect a block to be. On the top, you see a nice feature that's called the gallery. So each and every member of that block group is displayed there. And that's a feature that survived from Visual Group. So it was very nice if you had to deal with some colleague you didn't know, you could look up his face in Visual Group before you went there. And you also see these contextual views, where, who, and when, and you will see them recurring in the next iteration of Bebop. So let's just, that would be a wiki, and that would be the folder view. So let's just summarize the pros and cons again. I won't go into too much detail. On the pro side, we, for the first time, have LDAP authentication. The con side is, it's based on a development snapshot of SOAP 3, so this was subject to change. And it was, it's based on a now obsolete Python version, which becomes difficult to maintain, so no current Linux distribution ships with Python 2.4 anymore. It does not allow the manipulation of LDAP or AD objects, so you can authenticate your users, but you cannot create or edit them. So, by the end of 2007, people had given much feedback to Bebop 1, and what was a recurring statement was that these views, this content improvisation caused more confusion than it caused and it did good. So we now have we now followed another paradigm. So we based views on the questions where, when, and who, which is much more intuitive. But let's get a let's step one point back. Bebop 2 is written in Python 2.7, which is still in use today, but is becoming obsolete now. It's based on release 3.5 of the SOAP 3 framework. That's obsolete, but well, let's come to this later. And it has an XJS client interface instead of the AJAX that was there before. Large objects are now stored in the file system, which makes it a lot more responsive, and it supports LDAP and user authentication, and since 2008, also manipulation. So you could, so you can edit and remove AD users and LDAP users from inside Bebop. So let's have a look at screenshot. This would be the main window of our current instance. So you see different kinds of contents. There's still the gallery, and you have different contents where we store our publications, manage our library, and manage our employees. And there's this folder view on the left-hand side, where especially our administration stores their documents. So this would be the person's directory, and you can see you have a quite nice overview of your people. With one click, you can get the phone number and the, let's say, basic contact details. And if you have the right to log on in this area, you can even see the user ID and other data in this view. So let's again assess the pros and cons in short. It still supports LDAP and AD authentication and manipulation. It's the Python version and SOAP 3 version are becoming obsolete. It's on the con side. If you want to have larger customizations like a different skin or different plugins and so on, you have to be able to do Python programming. And that's an error of Visual Coop. It has to keep the SOAP database in sync with the AD. That's a point which I want to get rid of, but it's not as easily done. So let me try to answer the question why you would want to manage your AD users in groups with Bebop. Well, because first of all, it's easy. Second, it's open source. Third, it's flexible without being too complex. It helps ensure proper formatting of AD fields. What does that mean? If you have a corporate identity and your phone numbers have to be in a special format, you can have a regex which ensures that this field is filled with content in this format only. It can help reduce redundancies, especially between HR and IT, and it reduces the workload of both. It reduces type errors because it has several validation and check methods, and it provides you with a nice web-based view of your user and employee database, as shown in the screenshot. There might be other reasons, but you might find them yourself. So allow me to demonstrate. Well, I brought four virtual machines, two Windows 7 clients, Castor, that would be our current state of affairs. That's just a copy of our in-house server with Bebop, and dc.example.com is just, I will begin with that, it's just a plain simple Ubuntu 14, with a Samba 4.1 freshly provisioned as AD ads.example.com is the realm. And it has an installation of Bebop on it. Of course, Bebop doesn't have to be installed on the DC. It can be installed on any member server you want. So it has an empty database, so it's just fresh. Let's start it up. You can, of course, have other start methods. It supports a Whiskey module. You can start it from within Apache, for instance. And if you care to start it this way, you can also change the port and the IP address, of course. So let's minimize that and go to our client. So let's just have a look at the AD users in groups. So you see it's a pretty, I can just refresh. It's almost empty. Nothing here but the standard elements. We have our two clients and so now let's start Bebop. Well, let's view Bebop. Okay. So this would be, if you know Zope, this is the standard Zope view. You just log in as the standard administrator and go to the manage view, which is the central point of management of Zope. So let's imagine a little company named Bar Incorporated. We just create a Bebop application for that company. Let's call it Bar. So that's all. Let's give it a title. Okay. So that was already the first step. So now we already have a Bebop application, but it's empty. So what we need now is a plugin for our persons. So just add a person plugin. The name is pretty unimportant. It will be changed because you can only have one person plugin per site. And there are some settings you can go into. So for instance, we can just this touchpad kills me. So you can have different defaults, which will then be displayed in the form for adding users or persons. So let's fill out some of them. Pre-filled. So. Yeah, let's just take, it's a bad choice at the moment. So let's take Netherlands. So you can even force to have unique full names, so you cannot have two users, Hans Meyer. You can force unique mail addresses, which should come in very handy. These are the regular expressions I told you about. So you can just this is just an ordinary one which checks for the general validity of emails. But you can also build your domain into it or something like that. You can have your own phone number from it, and so on. So the primary group filter is something special. We will soon add groups to our AD, and you can just filter out groups you want to display to the person who adds and manages users with this regex. So one field you should definitely fill is the Active Directory DNS domain. It can be determined, but that's not so sure. So, and you can also have a legal agreement which you hand out to your users. We do that by creating a PDF file which has one instruction side where are the first steps in the network displayed. And on the other side, I will just type in, be careful with our stuff. That's basically the message. You can use HTML in here, but it should be properly formatted. So that's all. Just let's apply it, update it. Fine. So what do we need next? We just want to have our Active Directory users in here, and they at the same time should be our persons in Bebop. So let's just add an Active Directory users utility. You just fill in your AD data. The entity domain is named ADS. As you can see, you have a lot of customization here. So you can, for instance, you could fill in OU instead of CN equals users. And you can even say what object classes your newly created users should get, and so on and so on. Oh, let me. I forgot one step. It would be. So first of all, we need the SOAP equivalent to PAM. It's something I almost forgot. There's of course a README which depicts all the steps, so you won't come into that hassle. So it's called a pluggable authentication utility. It gets a prefix. You can choose whatever you want. I choose ADS. You add it. I usually call it POW. You have to register it. That's very important. And now we can go ahead again and add our Active Directory users. So again, okay, so you can name it whatever you want. We usually call it persons. You could call it bar employees or whatever you want. You add it. It's nice to give it a title because it will be shown in the application then. So I just chose bar incorporated employees. Okay, so what do we need next? We want to have some groups in our So we also want to have groups. So we just name it AD groups. And it doesn't have much more of a configuration. So let's get to persons. You have the edit tab where you can change the values you typed in by adding. You can even test the connection to the DC by clicking this button and hey, we got a domain sit. So everything's okay. And you have another tab here that's defaults. So you can, despite the settings for the person plugin, these are technical defaults. So the person plugin settings are more the things for the HR and for the corporate identity. And this is more for the administrators. So let's just take out everything that would force roaming profiles. And yeah, so we have again a primary group filter. It's just a. That's just for display. So let me explain. There's also a notification email address, so you could notify certain people of changes or additions to the user database. We have a conference for that in our group where all these mails are collected, and so you can see who changed whom at what time. So, as for the primary group filter in this view, you have the AID groups. And you will see if you go to manage Active Directory groups that there are seemingly no groups in there, although we have groups like domain admins and so on. So you can't. So there are several parameters which influence this default. So if you, for instance, say, "Oh, I want groups with a GID number less than." Or greater than 500, and your domain admins should have POSIX ID, which is like 512, you would see that in the AD groups, but I won't show you this now. So let's just stick with the defaults for the moment. And I think we have it now. Let me just check my... Yeah, that should be it. So now, for the first time, there's still something missing. We still have to say that these persons, they are the content for our person plugin. So that was the last step that was missing. Should there be several plugins registered, you would get a drop-down list to choose from, but we only have one plugin, so it was obvious which content we wanted to tag. So now this unnamed should be so well. Okay, so now we have our employee container, and we can start adding persons. So you see all the defaults I set in the settings are now in here. And let's begin with the founder of Bar Incorporated, which would be Simon Barr. His email address is sbarr@barrincorporated. He has a PhD. He works, of course, for Bar Incorporated. He is in the management department. And his job title is managing director. So the address is already filled in. And I even have a photo of him. So there he is. And as if you reload, you will see his photo in the gallery. Okay. So, what can we do with Simon Barr now? First of all, he should be in our AD. There he is. And he should, and all the fields should be filled in. Yeah, there's the address and so on. And what we never taught the system to do explicitly, he has Unix attributes. And of course, he has a password and everything he needs to log in. So let's just view his legal agreement. So be careful with our stuff. And you see logon name and first time password. And we can now try to log this user on the second machine. So let's just... So. Your password has expired and must be changed. This was also a setting. We said the user has to change its, his password on upon first login. So I will choose a new one. Changing password. Your password has been changed. So let's go back to the first client. And and let's go back to the Zope Manage view. So we are still logged in as the first time administrator, so that's probably not what you want. So you can now grant your newly created user the right to manage your principles. So you can just look him up, say, okay, he's a site member now, and he has the right to manage principles. So let's just change it. Okay, so Simon Barr now, only for this site Barr, has the right to manage it. Oh. This desktop's killing me. No, I don't want it. So let's just try to log him in here on the second client. One thing, if you go to directly to slash bar, you will always get this nice XJS view as the default. And I can now try to log in. I hope this will work. Yeah. So now I'm Simon Barr, and I can start adding new persons. So, for instance, Frank Fu or someone like that. So, what I didn't show you yet is how to manage groups. I just have to convince my desktop that he should show me. Okay. So group management at the moment is basically done in this management view, because it's a rather rare process. So we could, for instance, create a group management where Simon Barr should be a member of. We call the and it's done. So back to our AD. Let's just refresh if it lets me. So we have a group management and it should have a user named SBAR. Okay. Well, so much for the demonstration. I might have time to show you shortly our running instance. Let's see if it works. It's driven by the Apache Whiskey module, so it had to start up the application first. Once it's running, it's much faster. So you see, this would be Bebop filled with much more content, and yeah, we have our persons too. It takes a while to load because we are almost 2,000 now. And it has things like our publications in APA style. So the benefit of having everything in here is, first of all your users have one interface to look into if they want to find something, and you have the possibility to export everything in each and every format you want. So let's just get back to my slides. I'll try to finish up. So Yeah, just some other use cases of Bebop. So you can manage your library, you can manage your publications and intellectual products. You can even manage your website with it, because SOAP is basically a content management system, and we do that too. You can manage your technical resources. We, for instance, we have a room calendar where you can book rooms and so on for experiments, and you can book stuff like cameras and things. And the benefit is everything in one place, accessible through a single interface and exportable in open standard formats. So let me conclude. What's the current state of affairs? Bebop 2 is rather old, but it's in active development for almost 7 years now. It's accepted by both HR and IT to manage employee and user data, but the code base, especially the Python version and the SOAP version, are outdated and become hard to maintain. And in daily use, several shortcomings and errors are surfacing. It would be nice to have a successor. So there are some future goals. First and foremost, we have to upgrade the code base to Python 3, which won't be easy because SOAP 3 is struggling in that area too. It's now called Blueprint, by the way. One of the most important goals would be to use external data sources directly instead of synchronizing them. So, and of course, improve testing and test coverage. Yeah, probably one of the audience wants to contribute. So, in case you want to try it yourself, I will just show you this slide. Okay. Thanks for the attention. Are there any questions?
Thank you. No questions? So we are perfect on time. Thanks for the talk.
Thank you.